I don't know if we're going to need the mic or not, but we had him pull it out. But it's time. At 4 o'clock, we scheduled the meeting to begin. My name is Kent Jones. For those of you who don't know, I'm the state engineer and the director of the Division of Water Rights. And we're glad you took the time to come here. We tried to get notice out to all those that were concerned and may want to have some input as we work on a groundwater management plan modification. Okay, and we're going to be looking at some things here to talk about what needs to be done in this area between the drainage areas of East Canyon Creek and Silver Creek, and just how to consider interactions with those waters. We've had some pretty strict policies. I've got a fairly long history up here. Doug and I were talking about some of the old days. There's some pretty strong battles that went on. We've had hearings even in this room talking about water rights and what to do and how to work it out. And based on that, we came up with a policy to try to help everybody settle down and work together up here. Since that time, there's been a lot of things that have gone on where water companies up here have consolidated and have coordinated together. I know Weber Basin Water Conservancy District has got involved to help in some ways, and there just seems to be a spirit of cooperation up here. And Mike's going to talk about some things that have happened and why we're looking at a policy change up here, but I think it's going to be appropriate. He's got a PowerPoint presentation that we're going to go through and just explain some of the history that we've gone through and some of the changes that we're proposing. Feel free to ask questions if something's not clear to you, but we'll have a question session at the end, question and answer. Not, maybe just questions, and we won't do any answers. We'll try to do some answers, too. But we'll do that at the end, too. But if you're confused about anything that we're saying, please raise your hand and we'll ask. We are going to record the proceedings today. This is going to be available on our website for the information, along with the PowerPoint, so that anybody that isn't here can actually go here. Or if you really need something fun to do, you can go back and listen to the whole thing all over again. So we're going to go through and do that. I don't know if you have any questions right now. I think that we'll just go ahead and turn the time over to Mike and let him do his presentation.
Okay, yeah. Well, thanks for coming. Oh, is that working?
Yeah, you just need to speak up.
Yeah. I just need to be a little louder, huh? Okay. Well, thanks for coming. Why are we here? Let's see. Let me make sure this works. There we go. So why are we here? We're here to consider a change to the state engineer's policy for this area. Let's talk about the current policy. Its status under Utah Code Section 73.515. This policy was originally put in place in 1999. It was originally presented as a state engineer groundwater policy. Since that time, the legislature has passed legislation on groundwater management plans and grandfathered existing groundwater policies that were in place prior to May 1st of 2006. And we've represented this Snyderville Basin policy as a groundwater management plan. And so we're interpreting this to be one of these grandfathered groundwater management plans. It's been about 20 years since this policy was put in place, and a lot of things have changed, as Kent was saying, in this area in those 20 years. So it is time to look at it again. A lot of growth in the area, some substantial changes in water use patterns in the area, one of the reasons we're here is there are some applications that have been filed with the state engineer's office by Mountain Regional Water District proposing to move some water rights from the East Canyon drainage to the Silver Creek drainage. And this is something that under the current policy wouldn't be permitted. As we've reviewed this over the last couple years and considered it and evaluated it, we think there is cause to think that these can be accomplished without impairing senior water right holders. And so, but to do so, we're going to have to make an amendment to this plan. And so that's kind of why we're here, is to consider amending the plan in a way that would permit this. And we'll go into some of the reasons why we think this is permissible in the coming slides. So a little bit of background. So this area is subject to the Weaver River Decree, which is a decree that covers surface water rights all along the Weaver River. And that decree came out in 1937, and it was preceded by an over 20-year effort in cataloging water rights in the area. The area remained open to groundwater appropriations until 1973, at which point it was closed to a degree, and there was a limited moratorium put in place in the late 1970s, and this prevented larger water rights from moving into the area. Smaller water rights, 1 acre feet in size, were still permitted. In 1988, a full moratorium was put in place that prevented all new water rights from moving into the Snyderville Basin. As Kent alluded to, there were a lot of disagreements in these years, a lot of fighting between water users, and ultimately, what we came to the conclusion was we needed more information, we needed more data. A study was implemented in the 90s, and it resulted in a study that was released by UGS, Utah Geological Survey, and that came out in 1998. And that was then shortly followed up with the current policy that we have now, which was put in place in 1999. There was an amendment to the policy in 2003 that removed the Tollgate Canyon area. It was originally part of the policy area, but it was removed. But outside of that one revision, this has been in place since that time. So some highlights of the current policy. It maintained the moratorium that was in place, so no new water rights in the area. It also did not permit movement of rights between East Canyon and the Silver Creek drainages. The UGS study established that a lot of these areas up here are very compartmentalized, and so there were many sub-basins, and movement between them was viewed as something we probably wanted to avoid. Another restriction was that return flow from water uses was required to stay in the basin in which it originated, and this was to prevent impairment of downstream water users. Another facet of the plan, we really lacked lacked data, and so it. Oh man. Pop a little mint in my mouth. it required well cuttings and an aquifer test from any new applications. And this at the time gave us a lot more data. And we've since scaled back that program, and we don't require that on every application. But that was a requirement made at the time. Additionally, meters were required for wells diverting more than 20 acre feet. And then finally, it established some sub-basin depletion limitations that have been in place and have been used on various applications. Okay, so that's the current policy as it currently exists. So as far as current status, and many of you are probably well aware of these situations, where we find us now is that the East Canyon Creek is under significant pressure. We're seeing diminished flows during certain periods of the year, especially during dry years like we had last year. Some of this is inherent in the nature of the tributaries that feed East Canyon Creek, but some of it's definitely due to increased water development. And so because of this, we're seeing impacts to water rights downstream. There's impacts to wildlife that depend on East Canyon Creek, and there's also impacts to the wastewater treatment at the Jeremy Ranch treatment facility, where they're not able to, they're having to expend additional resources to put in higher level treatment because they don't have water to dilute their effluent. Now, as we go over to the east, Silver Creek is not under the same pressure. We reviewed it, available groundwater information and the a stream gauge on Silver Creek, and there's no discernible impact in the flows of Silver Creek. Now, we think a good part of the reason this is first off, you know, not as much development, but also the Lost Creek Project. The Lost Creek Project brings water in from Rockport Reservoir up and over the mountain and brings it into Mountain Regional Service District. And this has the effect of, when this water is brought over, used for municipal purposes, and water that's not depleted up by those uses is then, whether it's into the ground or through the wastewater treatment plant, is introduced into this area of the basin. And so this has the effect of augmenting the natural supply in this area. So what we see from this is there's a need for some rebalancing. We believe that applications like Mountain Regional's applications could be considered and actually might be a net benefit to the basin. And so that takes us to where we are in proposing our current this new policy. So the proposed policy, and this is the handout that we had when you came in the room, is the full text of the proposed policy. So in short, some highlights from the current policy: the moratorium remains, so we won't permit water rights moving into the basin that are outside the basin. We are proposing to permit limited movement into the lower Silver Creek area. And there's a map in your the third page of your handout that shows the lower Silver Creek area, and I'll bring that up on the next slide. Okay, and now any change or exchange that proposes this is still subject to prior rights, so that it's not a, you know, just a default, you know, open the door, let you in, but we do want to allow the possibility of a water right moving from East Canyon Creek drainage into Silver Creek drainage. We would propose to maintain the requirement that return flow remains in the basin where it's diverted. And whereas we haven't been doing this for some years, we propose that to remove the universal requirement for well cuttings and the aquifer test. If something like this is required, this is something that's within the state engineer's authority to require on a specific application. So if we found an aquifer test would be beneficial, it can be required. And the same thing with well cuttings. When our well drilling people, in the event that they find a well that is interesting, that would contribute data and information, that they'll ask for those and work with the well drillers to get those. But we really don't see a need to have that in the groundwater policy. Regarding the metering condition there, this is just bringing it in line with current state statute. 7354 requires that all water users install controlling works and measuring devices, and so rather than requiring it only for a certain size of water right, we bring it into alignment with the state engineer's current policy and current statute and require that of all water users. And then finally, we're proposing to remove the defined sub-basin depletion limitations. Whereas we're bringing water into this area, it really is of no benefit to administer the basin by these depletion limitations. As anywhere in the state of Utah, we're still governed by the principle of safe yield, and so if we find that we're exceeding the natural supply of water, then we would act to limit it to the safe yield. So this is the same map that you have in your handout, and you can see the lower Silver Creek area off to the right-hand side of that map. Uh-oh, and it's not working now. There we go. Okay, so that's kind of the end of the presentation of the policy. So now what happens now? This this process will follow what's outlined in section 73.5.15 of Utah Code, which is the section of code that governs groundwater management plans. We do plan to adopt the policy as soon as possible, and we're going to have a 60-day comment period. The plan's going to be posted online, and I'll give you directions on in the next slide on where to find that. And then following that 60-day comment period, we intend to take those comments, evaluate it, see if there needs to be an adjustment to the plan, and then follow the statutory process to issue a final adoption notice, and then the plan will take place following that. Okay. And then we'll take, if you have comments or questions, we'll definitely take some questions right now. If you want to submit those in writing, the email address that you can email is right up there, waterrights@utah.gov. You can also mail it to us, and that is the address, the P.O. box, and make it attention Snyderville Groundwater Policy. And then I said that there is a page set up on our website for this specific topic, and if you go onto our website, waterrights.utah.gov, and click on meetings, and then past meetings, and there will be something like Snyderville policy, but with today's date on it. And in that, you'll find this PowerPoint, a recording of this meeting, a list of attendees, the policy you have in your hands right now, and also a link to the prior policy. All of that information will be posted there, and then comments that were received between now and adoption will be posted there as well. So with that's kind of the conclusion what we have. We knew this would be quick, but we want also, if you have any questions or comments, we'd be happy to take those at this time. Yes, Doug.
Just a little history of why of Mountain Regional's involvement in this, and I'll just be brief. Mountain Regional was formed out of a lot of water systems that were struggling in East Canyon, mostly East Canyon. And back in 2000, when Mountain Regional was formed, these systems we acquired either by purchasing or annexation, these systems' water rights. And we had this whole pile of water rights in East Canyon. It's probably there's more than 1,600 acres of water that we have that is currently not being utilized in East Canyon. Over the years, we began to find out that Silver Creek, which has a lot of growth for the district, Promontory and the village center development at Silver Creek. Silver Creek has a much better aquifer in it, underneath it, that produces much more water consistently. It maintains its levels throughout the year and even in drought spells. And our thought was, if we could move water rights from East Canyon to Silver Creek that we own, it would reduce a future impact on diverting water from Silver Creek that's already impacted heavily, and pull them out of Silver Creek. But our problem with Silver Creek was the depletion was all used up under this policy, so we couldn't develop any more water. But with the Lost Canyon project, we are importing, between us and Park City, over 3,000 acre feet a year of water from Rockport into this basin. So we're adding to the depletion and the return flows. And so we all kind of felt like this was a positive benefit to this entire basin, and would mitigate any movement of water rights from East Canyon to Silver Creek. And so we have several applications for the state engineer attempting to do that, but it's become obvious that changing this policy is a cleaner way, and it would also open the door for others if they wanted to do this in the future and could show a similar mitigation impact and not impact the return flows and that. So that's just my comment. But I applaud the work that the state's done. They worked hard on this. Probably looked at every possible way to make this work, and I think this is the cleanest and easiest way that benefits everybody. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions, comments? Yes, sir.
Residential water wells. Are you guys going to come out and read the meters?
No, there is no funding to do that.
Fine, but you have to install a meter?
Well, it is required by statute. I guess that's the point, is it's already required.
I just paid for 20 acres. Why are you going to make it any?
Again, it's in statute right now that meters need to be. Now, there's not always the need to do that, so typically where we run into something like this is in a proof of beneficial use. Someone is submitting a proof. It hasn't been our practice, and in the state engineer can chime in if you'd like to, but it hasn't been our practice to hold up a proof of beneficial use because a meter isn't installed at this time. There is movement in our state to get to the point where all use of water is metered. We're not quite there yet, and there's a lot of secondary sources that are not metered, and even some of these small domestic sources that are not metered at this time.
Correct. So are you going to make people install meters?
When we get to the point of being required by the legislature to report all of that information, then we will send letters to those people. I mean, just everybody, individual homes, saying that you need to meter and you need to report. Right now, our public water systems are metering, and they are required to submit each year to us all of the water that they use. I think the way the legislature is going right now, they're really pushing to get metering of all water. They had a secondary water system bill this last year requiring secondary water to be metered, and they've put some mandates out there and way underfunded what the situation is. I mean, they're pushing to try to do that, and so the answer is we want to have people install these meters. Many years ago, when I was involved in some of the decisions, we were requiring meters, and people would say, what do you do with them? And we couldn't get out and read them. I mean, we just couldn't do that. And some of the meters were going bad before we even got out there to take measurements. We just told people to keep records of what you're doing. And the only way you can take a record or have a record established of what you're actually using is to have a meter on there. And so,
you have to read the meter.
Pardon?
And you have to read the meter.
Yes, and you have to read the meter. So I just kept telling people, put a meter on and keep your own record. So if anybody questions anything that you're doing, then you've got that record available, and you can share that with them. But you know, we are not funded to go out and read all the individual meters right now. But as Mike has stated, it is required by statute. Even with the old policy that we came back and said, well, we're going to really force anything over 20 acre feet. We've got to have those. We need to know what those measurements are. We realized then we can handle that. We couldn't handle going to each of the individual homes. But you need to understand by statute, if you're a water user in the state of Utah, you have to have controlling works, and you have to have a meter on them, a measuring device, to know how much water you're taking. And I'm guessing over the next multiple years, we're going to see some directions from the legislature requiring us to start getting handles on all of those things. So
why don't you wait till you get direction from the legislature before you have people install a meter that you just said you don't have time to read?
Yeah, we do. Well, and that's a good suggestion. We'll certainly take that recommendation.
Doesn't that make sense? If you would install the meters at the point you got the money or the direction from the legislature to read the meter. Because a meter that's not read is an expense that's useful.
Well, yeah, if it's not read, but the individual.
It's not read in your car. You can't received.
But the individual user, for their own protection, should be reading meters and documenting how much water they're using to protect their own rights. I mean, that's really the bottom line of that. And so it's not just for me to know what you're using, but it's for you to know what you're using in your home. So I'm still going to recommend you ought to have it, but what do we require with this policy? I mean, it's a valid point, so make sure that comments get in as part of the record. I think it's a valid concern to bring up.
Is it going to apply to surface water rights too?
All surface water rights should be measured. I mean, we've actually issued an order 9 years ago. Any diversions out of streams up here have to have head gates and have to have measuring devices. We pushed really hard to do that for a while. We haven't pushed that recently, but I mean, that's a definite yes, that they have to be measured and they have to be controlled. So. Okay. So. Other questions? You bring up valid point, and then this is why we're talking here. So. Okay.
If there are no more questions, then we'll go ahead and close this public meeting. And again, please, if you'd like, submit your written comments to this, and we'll consider it and incorporate those into the policy. And then we'll follow this the procedure outlined on that prior slide in adopting this policy at some point in the future. Thank you.
Can you go back to the prior slide? Just so.